This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Hi and hello again. How in the world are you today? Beautiful day. This is the first day of March, and it is just gorgeous out there. The high today up near 70 degrees. The sun is shining. The flowers are starting to blossom. We have a few dandelions and what have you. Red buds are out. All is right with the world. And on top of that, Anthony Tuggle is in the studio with us. How are you, Anthony?
I'm doing good, Barty. There's a beautiful day out. We should have had this radio program outside today.
Well, let's just walk on out. Let's go out on the back porch. We don't have a very big back porch, but...
we can make it all right.
That's right. It's gorgeous out there.
It is.
It feels like springtime. I know we probably shouldn't get too antsy about that, because... this is March the 1st, and I have seen snow on March 1st. I want to start, I need to say happy birthday to my son. Today is Scott's birthday, 35.
Well, happy birthday to Scott, that's great. Yeah,
he probably, I think he ran out to get a bite to eat, so I'm not sure he's back yet. But if you see Scott today, wish him a happy birthday. Now, what are you supposed to spank somebody 35 to one time for each year?
Yeah. Or give them a dollar for each year. You can give them
35. Oh, no, we're not going to do that. As you get older, it's too expensive.
Spanking works better, right?
That's right. I'll hold him down. You can help me on
all
that.
All right.
All righty. 893-1450. We already have a question for you. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Anthony Tuggle.
Good morning.
Hi.
Is it time to trim back the knockout roses? And I'm going to hang up.
Okay. Listen,
thank you.
Thank you. What about that? Trimming back the knockout roses.
Yeah, I wouldn't be afraid to go ahead and prune a lot of those plants back now for like knockout roses and some of those roses. Usually like it, just by the name of those are pretty tough roses anyway. But yeah, it's a good opportunity if you didn't get a chance to do that. Mm-hmm. To cut those back, and they seem to grow quite well during the summertime frame, so I wouldn't be afraid to cut them back quite a bit. Usually they get a lot of growth, so you want to cut them back way below what you want them to be as they start to grow in the flower in the summertime frame.
Huh.
Not only knockout roses, if people hadn't had the opportunity to go out and prune their fruit trees, it's a good opportunity to go ahead and start pruning on those as well. We start seeing some of the pears and some of those trees already start to flower out, so go in and prune those out, especially take out a lot of the dead wood and diseased wood and branches that you may have noticed that they may be crossing and rubbing against some other branches. So go ahead and thin those fruit trees out as well, so we can look forward to a good fruit crop.
And a word to the wise, if you can do it before they get all of the leaves, you're a whole lot better off, because there's a certain way on each tree, whether it's, whatever type of fruit it bears, that you cut the thing, the way you prune it. And you need to go by the Ag Center and get one of those brochures. And I guarantee you, from somebody who's been there and done it, if you don't do it before the leaves get on, it's so hard to tell if you're doing it correctly.
It is. It is a lot easier to prune them while they're in their dormant state right before they come out. Following the spray schedule, we do have some spray schedule to manage different peach trees, apple, pear, and cherry, whatever, and try to control, particularly in peaches. We see a lot of worms get into those fruits and kind of destroy those crops.
Mm-hmm.
So you really want to kind of follow a spray schedule for those. And we do have those. They're actually on our website, or either they can come by the office and pick up one. Peaches seem to be a big thing, and people really like to take care of those. So continue to manage those crops and share with your neighbors.
Let me ask you a question. I was in a place the other day and talking to a guy who, I don't know if he was an expert or just giving an opinion or something, and I casually mentioned, isn't this the time of the year that we put out the pre-emergence? Because I started noticing some weeds, believe it or not. Yeah, some weeds in my yard.
I got one or two myself. Okay.
And he said, no, I think you've missed the time. Have I missed the time?
No, you haven't. Typically, we think about pre-emergence. We really think about crabgrass prevention. It's pretty much, and also some of the Dallas grass and some of those other summer annual weeds we normally prevent. But if you did, and he could have been correct, if you were thinking about controlling some henbit, dead nut, and some of those weeds, we like to try to get those out in the fall of the year. But no, we hadn't missed the time to put out pre-emergence. Actually, kind of a rule of thumb we kind of look at and go by when we look at controlling some of the crabgrass and some of those other types of weeds is when the forsythia starts to bloom, and it's a good time to put those out. And actually, I was driving yesterday and I noticed some forsythia.
So you have noticed? Oh, yeah, I've seen the tulips and stuff.
Yeah, so forsythias have started to bloom, so I kind of go with our rule of thumb. I think we're in a good time to go ahead and put out some of that pre-emerge to control some of those weeds. But if you do have some hidden bit and dead nut and things like that are up, and some of the other winter annual weeds, then you can go in with a post-emergent herbicide. And there's a lot of three-way mixes on the market that you can actually buy, like Trimec, Weed Be Gone, a lot of those type products to control some of those weeds that are already up. And it's good to try to get those before they go to seed, because when they go to seed, then you're going to probably have that many more next year. So that may be what he'll talk about for missing the opportunity to control some of those with pre-emerge. Mm-hmm. But again, those go out in the fall of the year to control some of those winter annual. But typically, now it's a good time to go ahead and put out some of those pre-emerge to control the crabgrasses and some of those other summer annual weeds we try to control a lot.
Okay, so this is not too late to do that.
I'll probably try to get it done pretty early. And usually, if you follow the label on those products, it tells you that in order to, and then again, you have to know the weeds as well, and also different areas. You typically have to put those products out a couple of times to really get good control on those crabgrasses and some of those other weeds we really don't like.
Now, is there a better substance, liquid versus granules? Is one better than the other? Does one spread more evenly? Let's say you're going to do the whole front yard.
Well, all of them do quite well. Typically, you're going to find most pre-emergence generally in a granular form. Mm-hmm. So really, you want to kind of go ahead and put that out with a granular form. And usually, those are really not activated until they come in contact with water. So you really have to irrigate after them or put them out before rainfall. So for instance, like we could have put it out yesterday, we would have plenty of rainfall to kind of make those activated. But yeah, granular probably gonna be the easiest and the best way. And then again, one other thing we kind of keep in mind when we do apply different fertilizers or either type of weed control measures is to keep them away from water drains and things like that. You'll try to avoid it from getting into those where runoff and different things into our culverts to affect the water supply. But really, again, most of them are safe to use. You just follow the label and apply those, and they should work fine for you.
So while we're out doing things in the yard, getting rid of the weeds and what have you, a lot of folks are thinking also about gardens. And what type of plant could you be planting right now?
Bart, we're still in a time where we still can do some of our spring plantings on some of our vegetables. We were kind of thinking more about still plant cabbages, cauliflower, carrots, and things like that, lettuce. So we still can plant a lot of those, turnip greens. So a lot of those type, kind of a cool season leafy type vegetable. We're still a little early to be thinking about planting some of our warm season vegetables. We typically think about like tomatoes, peppers. And
everybody's thinking tomatoes, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, that's number one crop. Everybody love a good tomato.
Oh, they're good too.
Yeah, they are. And I like to challenge people to try some new varieties when they plant their garden, especially with tomatoes, because there are new varieties coming out every year and with different tastes and and they grow. I mean, I think like a couple of years ago, we talked a lot about the Jetstar, which was still a good crop. And there are some new ones on the market as well. I got a couple of new names yesterday, but I don't seem to remember. And some people are talking about trying. So it's good to try some new, plant your favorite, but then try some others as well.
Now, as people try some of these, be sure and call us and let us know what kind of reaction you got. I mean, with the Jetstar, when that came out several years ago, we just had all sorts of positive phone calls and had those calls for several years. And that sort of died away. I don't hear a whole lot about Jetstars anymore.
Yeah, I see a lot of folks last year planted some Mountain Fresh and different some of those more commercialized varieties, and they do quite well. Bradley, Better Boys, and Early Girls still seem to be a favorite amongst a lot of people. But again, there are some new cultivars coming out every year, and plant one or two plants of them and see how they work for you.
Okay. And if you're going to try one of these new types of tomato plants, can you get those locally as plants, or do you need to be looking at seeds right now?
Right now, you're going to be looking for them and growing your own transplant, and that's a good question. If you want some of those newer ones, and some of your garden centers may not carry some of them, it's a good opportunity to go ahead and start them out with some transplant. You can actually grow your own transplant. Usually, economically, you can grow a lot more plants than you can even buy with the packet, so you can actually start your own transplant and have enough plants to go away typically. But yeah, you can order from different places to start those.
So if you have done some of that in the past and had success with it, call us and share that information with us. 893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. Call us now and let us know what kind of success you had. And so if you are going to be planting tomatoes and you really wanted to get adventurous, you said get the seeds and get them started now.
Yeah.
What do you do? I mean, how do you do that? You got me excited. I'm getting ready to do this, but I have no clue how to do this.
Really you kind of want to get you a good soil medium and get some containers. I kind of think back to projects we did in school and what kids still do and starting to grow, talk about germination. Get those a styrofoam cup or some milk containers, and you can put them in those, put some seeds in those and start them from there. Or easy, you just get a pan or something like that and kind of fill it with your soil media and basically plant your seeds and keep them watered and kind of keep them warm, and so they can actually start by talking about germination. So everybody kind of think back to what those little science projects we did in school, talking about germination. And that's where we're at for us, starting those seeds plants. We can get them started that way.
So we could look at Anthony as our current day mystery wizard.
And I'm sure they may have kids or grandkids that are in school. They may do a good project and get them and talk with teachers. So probably we're talking about germination in classes. And
good morning. You're on WGNS with Anthony Tuggle. How are you today?
Fine, Bart. How are you today?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
I would like to ask, what is the best way to get rid of the invasive privet hedge that's around here? It's taking over.
They are everywhere. What about that, Anthony? How do you get rid of that?
Well, those can be aggressive. Typically, if you're going to spray to control them.
Thank you. I'll hang up.
Okay.
If you're going to try to spray to control those, then you're probably going to wait until they are actively growing and use some type of brush killer to spray and kill those. Usually those, can't think of any brush killer's name, but there are quite a few that you can find at farm supply stores or garden centers that will actually work for you. And they usually have a triclopyr active ingredient in those with a combination of a couple other things will actually probably work better for you. Or we can kind of go in and cut those out or cut them back and then kind of spray them as they come up would be even better way to control those. And we see a lot of those typically as barriers, even in fence rows and things like that, but they can become pretty invasive.
By the way, I was looking on the internet for some new varieties of tomatoes and found some at least that I'd never heard of. Upsy Downsy tomato plant. Here's one, the Thompson and Morgan plant, and the Burpee plant. Burpee, that's an interesting one. 893-1450 is our number. You're on WGNS with Anthony Tuggle. How are you today?
All right.
Good.
got a question about fruit trees. Is it time to go ahead and spray them, prune them, or anything?
It is. I will go. The answer to your question is yes. It was a good time to go in and actually cut those back, and also a good time to go in and try to put down some. I'm gonna say an orchard spray, probably a general one that actually contain insecticide and fungicide. But kind of when you think about spraying those, when they are actually flowering and budding out, we want to avoid using an insecticide, so you won't actually kill the bees. So you kind of watch, depending on which crop you're using. What you're trying to treat, whether it's a peach or a pear, or make sure when they're in flower, they're probably going to be flowering at different times. And when they're flowering, you want to try to watch out for the bees, because you would need those later to actually pollinate. But yes, it's a good time to go in and prune those out, and also treat those with a kind of a general orchard type spray that contains actually, and most orchard spray contains insecticide as well as a fungicide.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Anthony Tuggle. How are you today?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I was trying to replant some clover, and I've put probably 3 tons an acre about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I just wonder how long that line will last, and I need to really get a soil test or what I need to do before I replant this clover.
Okay, it's been 5 years. What about that, Anthony?
I probably would, since you mentioned you had to apply lime. Assuming you had a soil test and told you your pH was low, you needed to apply lime to raise your pH. I probably would go ahead and get a soil test to see where I'm at. We talked about 5 acres. A lime can be quite expensive, but especially by applying it and don't need it. I would just go ahead and pull a soil sample and so we know our pH and what type of nutrient we're going to need to actually to before we drill in our clover. So yes, that'll be my first option, to get a soil test, see where I'm at before going in and do that, then come back in and plant that based on your soil test recommendation.
Okay, thanks
for calling. How often should you get a soil test? Is there a set time?
He's right on the money. Usually anywhere we recommend 3 to 5 years is kind of a rule of thumb we want to do. But if you really dealing with some high dollar crops, we would talk about doing that probably annually or either biannually, but usually 3 to 5 years for the general people. But high dollar crop, we recommend annually. Mm-hmm. But he's talking about a pasture, things like that, either for a yard or a landscaping, probably every 3 to 5 years.
We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. We're going to check on the traffic and weather. We'll be back and take some more calls. There is a line open, one line, with your name on it. Yeah, there it is. I see your name right there on it. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. We'll be right back.
Good Neighbor Talk turns the UFOs, aliens, the unknown. It's Coast to Coast AM overnight every night on WGNS Murfreesboro.
It's still truck month at Ford of Murfreesboro. Get a 2012 Ford F-150 and save up to $6,500 off MSRP.
This excludes tax, title, registration, and the $499 dealer fee.
Need a Super Duty Ford diesel? Save up to $5,500 off MSRP.
Excludes tax, title, registration, and the $499 dealer fee.
Ford of Murfreesboro, on Broad at Northfield. Stop by today or visit fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. At Bell Jewelers, we buy directly from our diamond source in Israel. Our long-standing relationship with our diamond cutter means we get to select from the best offerings first and pass the savings on to our customers. There's nothing like the sparkle of a Bell Jewelers diamond. Stop in soon and see for yourself.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots.
Quality automotive repair service and repair at honest, fair prices. Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad Street, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Call 896-1407. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning. Wrapping up our traffic reports for this morning, we're seeing a little bit of congestion easing on I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231. As you make your way into Midtown Nashville, we're also seeing some congestion easing on I-24 around the Bell Road area. In Murfreesboro, traffic easing broad at Memorial, also Rutherford Boulevard at Mercury Boulevard. Nashville Flight Training can turn your dream of flying into a reality. Call Nashville Flight Training at 366-9192 or just go online to nashvilleflighttraining.com. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Well, plenty of sunshine today, 70 for your high temperature, and we'll have a calm wind becoming southwest around 5 miles per hour. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Andy Fallhuber. Right now, it is 48.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
WGNS Murfreesboro is true blue. Blue Raiders sports on WGNS, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Welcome back. 893-1450 is our number.
So blue, for that's what love will do.
Of course, that's Jerry Butler, and since we're talking lawns and gardens, I've often heard that if you sing to your chickens, they will produce more eggs. If you sing to your cow, they'll produce more milk. If you sing in the garden, will it produce more fruits and vegetables? Have you ever tried it?
I have not.
Oh, okay.
But I know people talk.
Anthony's afraid to answer any of these questions. There'll be somebody outside with a net to get you.
I know people say if you talk to your plants, they seem to do better. So maybe talking to your vegetables and plants and
singing to them,
it should do well also.
Get yourself the Iceman songbook, and those songs are guaranteed to make a garden grow. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I had a soil sample did on my yard, and they told me that the soil was pretty good, and they said, if anything, I needed some lime on it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Other than neutralize it, which I don't really understand what that means, can you kind of tell me what this lime is going to do for my yard?
Okay, and also we'll share how to put it down for you. Because Anthony, when you say neutralize it, I think of the old science fiction movies where you neutralize something and it just eliminates them. That's not what he's talking about, I don't guess.
I'm just trying to think. I don't think I ever seen a soil test report to say neutralize it. Typically, when you recommend a lime, your pH is going to be low. Then they're going to talk about how much, like, they'll tell you how much lime to put down to raise your pH. What do you get a soil test for?
He's already gone.
Oh, he got. Mm-hmm. First, if you got a soil test for a vegetable crop and you want your pH in a 6.0, 6.5 range, then it'll tell you how much, depending on how low it is, it'll tell you how much lime you need to apply. Maybe say 2 pounds per acre or a pound per acre. Whatever the case may be, may tell you how much you will need in order to raise your pH to a certain level. And that would be the same for a garden and whatever the case may be. So I don't, when you say neutralize, I'm a little lost. I don't recall ever seeing one of our soil test report that say neutralize it.
Now, when he puts this lime down, should he just broadcast it over the land or should he till it in? Is there a better way?
That kind of goes back to what is he, if he soil tested for a garden, yes, I'll probably work it into the into my garden site.
Actually till it in.
And also, when we think about putting lime down, then it takes a little, you would get an initial response, but in order for it to get your pH back to where it should be, it takes a little while. for it actually to a truly adjust your pH. And but if you're doing it on a lawn area, then you wouldn't want to till that in. You want to basically broadcast it. I prefer kind of a easy method. I like to aerate before applying it, so you can actually, you're working it down into the soil when you apply that. But really, I'm kind of stunned by, if you got a soil test report from us, it say neutralizer. I like to see that. That's kind of a different little statement on that one.
Okay. Maybe somebody else has had this, you know, happening also. So give us a shout. 893-1450. I was sort of Googling through here and trying to figure out, and I found something, how topsoil and sand neutralize sulfur. That wouldn't be it. So that's... We're not neutralizing sulfur that I know of, anyway.
Yeah, if he got a soil test from us, he can just call it off. I like to read that. If he can just call it off and give his name, I can actually pull it up and look at it. And if he got it from somewhere else, then I'm not really sure what they meant by it. But we may be able to analyze it. We can send it to our soil and plant lab, and they can kind of tell us to now, interpret that a little bit better for us.
I've never heard. Do other places do soil tests other than the state?
Yeah, there are other labs. There are private labs that do soil tests. And I mean, a lot of them, A&L, one out of Memphis, that does soil testing, and other companies do them as well. But it depends on, and depending on what kind of soil test they get, or they do different ones. Like we do a Mellick 2, I believe. Mm-hmm. Other ones do a Mellick 3, and there's a Mellick 1 test that they actually can do to determine what the pH of the nutrients are. But most universities use the same soil test procedures.
All righty. 893-1450 is our phone number. If you have a lawn or garden question, just give us a call, 893-1450. And is pretty much any time of the year a good time of the year to put out trees and shrubs, woody plants?
I'm going to say yes, Bart, especially with our containerized plant, but there is a I'm still a big fan of putting out trees and shrubs when they're dormant.
Mm-hmm.
Fall time would be the best time to put those out when they're in their dormant state. But technology has come so far, especially with our pot-in-pot containers, the ones coming, I call pot-in-pot ones, that actually grow them in those black pots. Then sometimes there'll be two black pots they actually grow them in and clear, mm-hmm. move them from one another. And typically, we can plant those anytime. But for less stress and things like that, I prefer fall time or winter time frame to plant those. But yes, if you want to go out and put out some plants and trees and shrub, you can do that now and throughout the summer time frame. But you will have to manage those, I think, a little bit more and kind of watch them a little bit more as well. But proper planting, they should do quite fine.
Now, for these tall ornamental grasses that people use sometimes just for decorative purposes, some use them even, and I've seen people use them as privacy fences. If you put them out now, will they grow fast enough to really do anything by, say, late spring, early summer?
A lot of them are still dormant now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say, yeah, depending on what variety and cultivar you get, there are so many, there are hundreds, thousands of different varieties and cultivars you can get of those ornamental grasses. And they will do quite well. Most of them are dormant. You can put them out now, and they should be come out, especially during summertime frame, and grow and look great.
Sounds like that's one of those things that you'd almost do yourself a favor if you went by the Ag Center and got some information on which one, if you want it to grow quickly, which one grows the fastest, which one is the most dense, which might be the easiest to take care of, and find one that sort of suits what you're wanting it to do. Because it sounds like there's such a variety out there.
There is a variety, and I guess one of the good things about most of the ornamental grasses is they are pretty tough to kill.
So all right.
They do quite
my
well.
Kind of plant.
Yes, yeah, your plant here, Bart special, the ornamental grasses. They do quite well. And I really can't think of a one problem they actually will get as a scale problem.
Mm-hmm.
And those are, and they don't really kill the plant all the way back. But you can actually easily treat those with a systemic insecticide. And they should do quite fine. And they're pretty rare to get that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Macanthus something. I can't remember actually the last part of it, but it's a little insect, scale insect, that that can attack them, but it's pretty rare.
Now, do some of them bring in problems? Do they attract certain insects and things that would create problems with other things in your yard, like gardens, trees, things of that sort?
I haven't seen any case of it, and I'm not saying that there won't, but usually, again,
okay,
they are some pretty good plants. And they depending on which ones you get, they have a nice purple flower come on them, or different color of foliage on a lot of them, especially different time of the year. So they do quite well.
Because I didn't learn until late in life that cedar trees and apple trees don't do good together, and you don't even need them in the same neighborhood, because winds will blow the pollens. And speaking of pollen, that's what's happening right now, especially these red buds out here. Is this the time of the year you start to see the bees starting to really get active and do some cross-pollination?
Bart, when we start seeing plants go into bloom and flower state, our honeybees and other bees will get active and start to move around. And especially once the weather continues to warm up like it is, we probably will see some of those. Especially with all the pollen going on, they will become active. That's another we kind of mentioned earlier. We talked about spraying of fruit trees and other trees, is that while they're flowering, while you're seeing insect activity, you want to count, even if you don't see the insect activity, because they probably are there, you won't see them when they're flowering and blooming. Then we do see bee population. We don't want to use an insecticide on those at that time. We want to wait till the petal fall and then treat those.
Alrighty. 893-1450 is our phone number. Anthony Tuggle is with us this morning. We're talking lawns and gardens. This is the first day of March, and spring is not officially here, but
feel like it.
Certainly looks like it outside, I tell you. We'll be back and continue the conversation in just a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Come see us for all those wonderful gift ideas, from our gift department to clothing. We have a hunting section.
We've really upped our selection of ammo and got really good prices on.
That's the Rutherford Farmers Co-op Farm and Home Center. And also for your furry friends in our pet and bird section. So come visit us at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. We're located just off of South Church at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard. That's the Rutherford Farmers Co-op Farm and Home Center.
Family Staffing Solutions.
Family Staffing has been a fantastic experience for me. I don't know what I would have done without them.
Stay independent, at home, in charge.
They have given me hope when I didn't think there was any hope.
It's just the most involved kind of relationship, and when it works, it is so beautiful.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions. Personal care assistance at its best. Call 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Weatherize.
While plenty of sunshine today, 70 for your high temperature, and we'll have a calm wind becoming southwest around 5 miles per hour. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Fallhuber.
Right now, it is 48.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
There is no safer place in the storm. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Once there was fire in our lives, silver sparks that used to fry. We've got to get it on again, work it out together.
We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. We're talking about honeybees and all sorts of things. The honeybees are going to be out there pollinating, and won't be long we'll have fresh honey, and we need it now, because that's what they encourage people to use to reduce their problems with hay fever, sinus problems, what have you. Now, when can we start seeing fresh honey? Pretty soon, or?
It's probably going to be a while.
A little bit.
It'll be a while before we actually start seeing some honey.
We're still working on last year's production, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we still should have, I mean, some, a lot of our honey, we do have quite a few honey producers around.
So it doesn't get old, okay. That's good.
So they still should be able to find some local honey, especially when our farmers market open up in May.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but not too long away.
It's right around the corner.
Well, speaking of things that are right here now, tomorrow's Friday.
Yes.
You're having, what is it, Lawn and Garden 101, Friday, tomorrow night, and Saturday morning?
I think that is correct. There's so many programs going on. I know Mitchell does have some programs coming on right now, and I know he had the vegetable one last week, and I do believe, trying to look it up, your Lawn 101 starts tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And I believe it, again, repeats, as you mentioned, Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So you want to get more detailed information on your lawn as far as weed control, identifying weeds, controlling those weeds, how to fertilize, how to manage your lawn. Please come by. You have pretty much 2 good days to learn that information.
I think there is a $10 fee on that. And that's only because you're going to be there at lunchtime on Saturday. So you need to let them know that you're going to be there. 898-7710. 898-7710. And when you finish the program, which should be around 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon, you will walk away being an expert.
That's
and
right.
We're getting names, and you'll be on a future broadcast.
No, gonna share their knowledge with us.
That's right, but that's, you know, that's just one of the many programs. You're back to the brown bag lunch. You had the first one, I guess, last week.
Last week,
and they're coming up every once a month, on the
fourth Thursday,
okay.
From 11:30. They're typically about 12:30. And that's a different topic. I don't have that schedule. I know last month was fruits and vegetable trees. So we talked a lot about that, and also talked about pruning and managing those crop, but I'm not sure what this one is this month.
Right, that's right. We're in a brand new month, aren't we? This is.
I guess I need to put that
March.
Schedule down before I can have it with me, so I can, when people ask me that question, I can answer.
So that's a great program,
and it's free. It's a free program. People can just bring their lunch and eat and learn a different topic each month. So hopefully that we'll get more people to come out, and they've been well attended. You know, obviously people are interested in certain sessions or more than others, so they can kind of look at that. And I want to think March have something to do with lawn care as well. I'm not quite sure, but I have the schedule with me from now on.
The Lawn Care 101 that starts tomorrow. I mean, this really is going to get into some specifics on how to take care of your yard. It starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. 6 until 9 tomorrow night, and then Saturday from 8:30 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. And you'll walk away from that, I guess, knowing, first of all, what's the difference in cool and warm season grasses. But really, you need to walk on those plots of turf out there at the Ag Center and get one of the little sheets that explains, you know, how difficult it is, because some of them are easy to manage, some of them are more, you know, takes a little more time. And you can just sort of decide, like that ornamental grasses. You can decide the one that sort of fits your energy levels the best, I guess. Some folks enjoy working in the lawn. I mean, that's a way to sort of get the world, the busy world behind them. And some people like to do it as quickly as possible and move on to something else.
And so, some people like to stay out there all day. And there's always something you can do out there, whether it's controlling weeds, fertilizing, watering, and all those. And also, speaking of fertilizing, and we'll talk about, you mentioned warm season and cool season lawns. We'll talk about when not to fertilize to reduce some of the disease problems we have, especially throughout the summertime frame, like brown patch, especially in our cool season grasses.
So fertilizing can create problems? Is that right?
It can create some disease problems like brown patch in our cool season lawn. typically a rule of thumb for that is if you fertilize after, I'm going to say April 15th, middle of April time frame, then with the humidity being so high, we know it increased nitrogen and increased humidity, and with that fertilizer you applied, it does cause this, it promotes brown patch. So if you have that fungi in your soil, it will promote it. And then you have to come in and try to control that. So really, that's one thing we really try to keep in mind about late fertilization. You're just in the middle of April time frame, but we're not nowhere near close to that right now.
Brown patch is a problem we've had over the past, you know, it's been more prevalent over the past few years. What causes that? Is it heavy moisture? Is that the culprit, or what creates it?
Kind of, or we think about disease, we think about three things that actually affect it. The environment, the fungi that's present, and also I guess I'm kind of go back and say the species of grass is the thing. Tall fescue is the culprit. Mm-hmm. And we know the increased nitrogen, and with that fungi present with the high humidity, actually causes that disease. It promotes that disease in your lawn. Mm-hmm. And typically what we do when we see that brown patch show up, our initial response is to go in and fertilize and water with the humidity already high, the disease, the pathogen is already growing. We fertilize, we're actually promoting it even more. So then we try to come back in and treat something that we've semi-caused ourselves by additional fertilizer on it.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Anthony Tuggle. How are you today?
Okay. You doing all right?
Doing great. Thank you.
Can I ask y'all one more question? Absolutely. I ain't asked you but a few.
Okay.
Do you know of anybody that, you know, they jet tomatoes and mm-hmm. everything? Do you know of anyone that had 60 gallons off of it?
60 gallons of tomatoes?
Of tomatoes, off of jet tomatoes.
I know that they have really been very productive for people who've had them. Have you had that many?
Well, as far as I got 60 gallons, I got 10.
Uh-huh.
I got 10 tomatoes. I didn't get no 60 gallons.
Oh, okay.
And I just wondering what to do to get 60 gallons off of
them. You have to sing a Jerry Butler song to them.
Plant more plants. Put out some more plants to help, too. That'll help our odds out.
I know production. The first year I put some out, I got a lot of tomatoes. I don't know how many. I wasn't counting.
Yeah.
But the second year, I got some big plants, but didn't get, you know, two or three tomatoes. I don't know what I did wrong that year.
What should I put in that tomato stuff?
Well, once you get the plants started and once they start to produce, I mean, providing you have a good pH, good organic matter in your soil, and once you get those plants started and put your fertilizer down initially, really you shouldn't have to do much after that. Just kind of water them throughout the summertime frame and kind of keep them healthy. Because
okay.
We do know if you fertilize those,
yeah.
especially with excess nitrogen while they're in their production stage, it will cause flowers to drop off, which eventually will cause the buds, and you will have a reduced
crop.
And
I'm going to ask you another question. When is a good time to put potatoes out?
Potatoes, okay. When do you need to put out those potatoes? Because those are mighty good eating there.
We talking about sweet potato, Irish potatoes?
Irish potatoes.
When do we plant them? I'm trying to remember exactly the time frame to plant Irish potatoes. Well, potatoes...
I tell you, keep
probably
listening.
Probably March.
You think
this
so
month be the time you want to go ahead and plant those. You probably start going by lawn and garden centers and actually start seeing those slits and potatoes. You can actually put those out this month.
Okay, so put those out this month.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. Looking for a new look? Update your gemstones by letting us remount your jewels into a new style.
white gold, yellow gold, vintage, modern. Let Bell Jewelers help you design a special piece with your old gemstones, or let our award-winning jeweler, Bob Lanier, custom-make a fabulous piece just for you.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots.
American radio's biggest voice.
You know who I am.
G. Gordon Liddy. Weekday mornings at 9 on the Good Neighbor Network. Talk radio WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. We just have about a minute left in the program. Any final thoughts you want to share this day with folks who are doing their lawns and gardens? Anthony?
I'm sorry. I was looking at something.
Anthony was looking out the window. He's ready to go.
I'm ready to go outside, boy. Just hang out there today.
Okay.
What you say, any other garden tip? Probably just kind of wash the lawns. Go ahead and cool season grasses. Go ahead and probably mow over some of those yellowish, brownish in their yard so that tall fescue can come on out.
Alrighty, so get out and enjoy the weather. I mean, it's beautiful out there today. Up around 70 today and up near 77 tomorrow. So it's going to keep getting better and better. Have a super day. If you have any questions, get with Anthony over at the Agricultural Extension Service on John R. Rice Boulevard. Starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow night, Lawn Care 101. That continues back up again on Saturday morning. You need to find out more about that. Give them a call at the Ag Center. Anthony, thanks for joining us. Have a super March 1st.
Thank you, sir.